October 26, 1983, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Chapel Service. Our speaker today, Alexander Kurian.
You see Alexander Currie and tell him to come up here. He's supposed to be the speaker. Anyway, this morning our emphasis is on fellowship. Notice yesterday morning our emphasis was on unity and just passing out the communion. Everybody was just scattered out all across the place. Well, this morning our emphasis is on fellowship, and we want to have a little bit of it. So I'd like for you to stand where you are right now. I'd like for everybody to stand. And all I want you to do in the next 30 seconds while Randy comes and warms up his guitar to prepare us to lead us in singing, we want you to greet your brothers and sisters and tell them that you love them in the Lord. And you that are in the back, we want you all to come down. We want to have a little fellowship. We want you to all move down here and be close together. The service is going to be great, so I want you to come on down right now. Don't stay back there at the back. Come on down this way.
There's lots of seats down here in the front if you want to move down a little bit further. While everybody's sitting down, I'm going to sing through the song that you'll find on your song sheets as our call to worship. And I'm going to sing through it once because I know most of you won't know the song, and I'd like for you to hear the first verse, and then I'll start over after I've sung it one time through, and you join me on the first verse again. All right? The Lord is present in His sanctuary. Let us praise the Lord. The Lord is present in His people gathered here. Let us praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. Let us praise Jesus. Okay, join with me. Let's sing that verse together. The Lord is present in His sanctuary. Let
Let's pray. Dear God, we're thankful for today. Thankful for the opportunity to be here, Lord, and to praise your name. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Lord, it's good to see it out today. Lord, we thank you for its warmth. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the warmth you put deep down in our hearts. Lord, there's nothing like the peace and the joy and the happiness that you give us. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, we really lift up the service to you today. Lord, we pray that all that is said and done will be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, that everything will bring glory to your name and not any of our own. Lord, we pray that you will fill this place with your powerful Holy Spirit. Lord, use us for thee. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to welcome you here this morning to the second day of the student-led chapel services. We're glad you're here. As I said a while ago, yesterday the emphasis was on unity. Today we're working on fellowship. And the way that Chris introduced the service yesterday, you might be looking for a lot of hooting and hollering and ranting and raving and running around the place. Well, we're not going to do that. If you came to see a show, you're not going to get it because we haven't planned a show. Instead, we've planned a worship service. And we come here to worship the Lord. The singing today is going to be sort of a folk type, and the preaching today is going to be straight from the gospel. Really looking forward to it. Randy Ennis is going to be leading us in our music this morning. Randy's a second-year Master Divinity student from Kansas City, Missouri. He's now living in Raleigh. For 4 years, Randy was a member of the singing group called The Living Sound, which toured Eastern Europe and went in behind the Iron Curtain. If you ever get a chance, talk to Randy a little bit about that. He's got some stories and can tell you how the Lord really worked in a powerful way over there. John Stanley's going to be bringing us a bit of his personal testimony also. John is from Braxton, Mississippi. This is his third year in the Master Divinity program, and John is currently the pastor of the Albemarle Baptist Mission in Edenton, North Carolina. And bringing our message this morning is Alexander Kurian. Alexander's a second-year Master Divinity student here, and he's from South India. For 7 years, Alexander's been a pastor and evangelist in India, and he says he's determined to go back there and do God's work there. We just pray that the service will be pleasing in God's sight today.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. These words of Scripture embody the message of salvation as I have experienced it in Christ Jesus my Lord. I remember my childhood with a great deal of pain. One of my earliest memories was hiding in a road ditch behind weeds and grass with my older brothers and sisters, hiding from every set of headlights that was coming. My parents were alcoholics, and my older brothers and sisters would take us little ones out of the house before they came in to save us from the brunt of the violence and the screaming, until finally my drunken parents had quieted down enough to go to sleep or fall into a stupor. That violence came to a head when I was 5 years old. My brother Joe, 2 years younger than I, and I were sitting in a big vinyl chair in our den across from the fireplace. My mother and father had been fighting all night long, and Joe and I didn't notice that it was at somewhat a higher pitch than usual. But suddenly my mother picked up a wrought iron fire poker, and she hit my father across the neck with it. And he fell to the floor stunned. And my raging mother beat him and beat him until the life was gone out of him. And she stood there screaming and then weeping over my father's lifeless body. My brother Joe and I were then put into foster homes after I was on the defense. I was a defense witness at my mother's murder trial. We were placed into one of about 4 or 5 foster homes that I lived in throughout my life. Having such a painful and hurtful childhood, I developed a way of getting on. It was the way of gravel in my gut, competition. I was going to make something of myself. I was going to show people I could be somebody. I remember in first grade the confusing signals that I'd get when I would do well on my spelling bees or my writing, and I'd get smiles from people. They really liked that. But then when I got around playing with the children, I could hear whispers, broken sentences in which the term welfare trash was used. And I really didn't know what John was. Was he a cute little kid, bright, able, gifted? Or was he a freak? Someone to be avoided, someone you don't play with. At age seven, I moved to a family that I stayed with about 6 years. They were Johnny and Edna Berry. Mr. Johnny was a deacon of Holly Grove Baptist Church, a little bitty church, about 30, 40 people. And at age 12, during January Bible study, I gave my heart to Jesus, as much as a 12-year-old can. But my conversion began much earlier. You see, for me, my conversion came because of grace, because of acceptance, because of people loving me. And from the very beginning of life at the Barry's house, I found Christian folk who accepted me. I found in the church people who loved me. And I think that's all that made me able to accept this notion that Jesus loved me. I'd already experienced it from God's people, from the fellowship. My conversion began a long, long time ago with God's people loving me. And I'm still working it out with fear and trembling among you, God's people. I'm not all saved yet, because you still are bearing grace to me as my sisters and brothers. I found in the church at a very early age a surrogate mother. I found in the church people who would provide my basic physical needs. Mr. and Miss Berry did that. And I have to believe it had something to do with their Christian commitment that they did that. People of the church provided care and emotional support. I wasn't welfare trash to those people. I was one of the best Bible memorizers in my whole Sunday school class. And they loved me. The people of the church provided protection. When I came in hurt because I didn't feel like I was an anybody, they would say, "Yeah, you are, John." And they would protect me from some of the harsh, hurtful, painful things of my childhood. People of the church provided my impetus to grow. Intellectually, it's because I surrendered my life to Christ and because I understood and responded to God's call to ministry that I was sent to a Baptist college. I'm now at a Baptist seminary. My church folk prompted me to grow intellectually. They prompted me to grow socially. I remember this summer going back to meet with one of my friends. He and I were playing golf, and he said that Doc Quick, the vice president for student affairs at Mississippi College, remembered when John Stanley came to college. Said that boy was the countryest, most ignorant sounding thing you ever heard. But church people have prompted me to grow socially and emotionally, to come to grips with the pain of my background and to accept that because they've accepted it, because God's accepted it. And most importantly, to grow spiritually, to come into a contact with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I owe that to Christ first and foremost, but it came to me through His people. You see, I grew up thinking I had to make something of myself. I had to be somebody. But I heard from God's people, the gospel, that I didn't have to make something of myself. God had already done that. And I didn't have to be somebody because I am somebody. The people of God bore the message of God, of grace. The fellowship of Jesus' followers have been for me instruments of grace. It is only by the grace of God that I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain.
If you pick up your song sheets, our next song of proclamation is called Alleluia Number 1. I know it's another new song to most of you, and I've got a couple of friends that we ran through this song last night with that are going to help me teach it to you, and if they'd like to come up, I'd appreciate their help. And we'll have some fellowship up here as we're leading you sing. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. Stand as we learn and then sing this song together, all right? We'll sing through the chorus and first verse. You join with us on the chorus, and then we'll continue on the second verse, all right? Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. Spread the good news o'er all the earth. Jesus has died and has risen. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. We have been crucified with Christ. Now we shall live forever. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. God has proclaimed the just reward. Life for all men, alleluia, 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 give thanks to the risen Lord, alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name. Come, let us praise the living God, joyfully sing to our Savior. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to His name. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name.
Let's sing that all together one more time, that chorus.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to His name.
Our meditation this morning centers around the beautiful theme of Christian fellowship. I would like to read two verses from the first letter of John, chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7, reading from the New American Standard Version. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and that walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I think a sham Christianity is very popular today, which thinks that
Christian fellowship is just sharing a cup of coffee and donuts, or shaking hands, or going to the church, or enjoying a meal together, or sharing a joke. It may be a part of the Christian fellowship, I do not deny that. But when I was thinking and meditating on the Christian koinonia, I could find that it is so deep and it is so authentic that it can only be practiced by the energy of the Holy Spirit. It is a very popular term all over the world among Christians. We usually equate friendship for fellowship, and we mistake that friendship is fellowship. I believe that I can have friendship with all the people in the world if I may. If I am patient, if I am humble, if I am loving, I may have friendship with all the people in the world. But I very much doubt whether I can have fellowship with all the people of the world. Because fellowship comes from a very different origin. That is what the New Testament teaches me. I can never have fellowship with a non-Christian or an unbeliever. I can have friendship with him. I should have friendship with him. That is the whole purpose of evangelism. Enjoy friendship and communicate the gospel and lead him to fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, when we think of Christian koinonia, Christian fellowship, it is one step ahead of the worldly friendship. It comes from a different source. It has a particular divine origin. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we read, God is faithful, through whom we were called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How can I participate in the fellowship of God? It is not by going to a church. It is not by becoming a member of the Baptist denomination. It is not by becoming a missionary. It is not by studying in Southeastern Seminary. It is God's call and responding to that call. I remember how I became a partaker of God's fellowship as a poor boy in India 15 years ago, when a poor evangelist who doesn't know how to read the English Bible, he just preached in our vernacular, an uneducated man with the power of the Holy Spirit spoke on the fellowship of God, how sinners can be friends of God. I heard that call, and God called me. I responded to that call. Then I understood the meaning of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called to the fellowship of his dear Son. And after I have been called to that fellowship, God's Holy Spirit spoke to me that I have a great responsibility in life. What is that? To call others to that fellowship. Not to be merely friends of others, that is good. Not merely to help others, that is good. Not merely to counsel others, and not to be, and to be an example before others, which is quite indispensable in Christian life. But I have an added responsibility to call others to the fellowship of God, to enjoy God's fellowship even in this life. Dr. Braswell is teaching us world religion during this semester. And the concept of fellowship of God, I find it very different in the religion of my own country. People are trying to have fellowship with God after this life. They strive, labor, and work through their deeds and prayers to have fellowship with God, if they may, after this life. But the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ tells that you can have fellowship right now in this world while you live through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think that is the common ground where all of us stand together this morning as members of Southeastern family committed to the preaching and teaching of God's glorious gospel. I praise the Lord that God has called us to that great fellowship. And it is our duty to call others to that fellowship. That is the whole mission of evangelism and world mission. But the verses I read this morning also tell us that enjoying Christian fellowship in this life is conditional. He tells that we ought to walk in the light because he is in the light. The originator, the source of fellowship is light. It is God himself. So one who wants to show fellowship in his life, one who wants to enjoy fellowship in his life, he also should be a partaker in that life. I think that the apostle or the writer of the first letter of John is speaking about practical holiness in life. A man who claims that he has fellowship God with God and lives like a devil is a liar. Practical fellowship, Christian fellowship, it is to be in the light. It is in walking with God. First, I have to walk with God so that I can walk amicably with my brother. In the same epistle we read, how can we love God if we do not love our brothers? I equate that with fellowship also. How can I have fellowship with my brothers if I do not have fellowship with my God? Fellowship with God and fellowship with others. It is conditional. Conditional in the sense that we need to have holy life, separated life, walking with God. I am not going to define what I mean by holy life. I just want to share that holy life is a life in communion with God, lived in the energy of the Holy Spirit. I am not going to enumerate a list of do's and don'ts. That's not what I mean by holy life. I mean by holy life a life lived in communion, constant communion with God, being a friend of God. Abraham, the friend of God, we read in the scriptures. Enoch walked with God, being a friend of God, and thus being the friend of others, trying to help others, trying to encourage others. We were thrilled to hear the blessed testimony of Brother John Stanley, how he was encouraged in his early life by people who showed practical fellowship. In India, when people are converted from other religions, it is the great responsibility of Christians in our country to show practical fellowship in many ways, whatever ways we can, to strengthen them, to establish them, to nurture them in the grace, so that they may not backslide, so that they may not be discouraged. I think it is an indispensable part of any community, any Christian community, in any part of the world. Let me again remind you that Christian fellowship is deep. It is more serious. It is participation in the life of God. It is being members of the body of Christ. In verse 7 we read, we have fellowship with one another in the true sense. As the Southeastern community, have we got that fellowship? Is our fellowship deep and authentic? Can we say we have fellowship with one another because we are the children of God? We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and we are committed to the ministry of the gospel. So we have fellowship with one another. How to manifest that fellowship? Our fellowship should be manifested through the fruits of fellowship. In the New Testament, we read a lot of phrases with one another. I think they are the fruits of fellowship. I do not have time to go deep into all those words, but I picked up a few. Love one another. Accept one another. Be patient one with another. Encourage one another. Greet one another. Honor one another. Be kind one to another. These are all practical ways through which I can manifest my Christian fellowship to my brothers and sisters while I live in this world. It is not simply saying that fellowship is a kind of friendship. It is not by preaching about fellowship. It is by deeply authenticating our fellowship from our own practical life, by accepting one another. That's a very difficult thing to do sometimes. By accepting one another. as God has accepted us in Christ, forgiving one another, loving one another, honoring one another, bearing one another's burden, be kind one to another. What a blessed concept is the New Testament koinonia. When we read the book of Acts, I read three most important things which are the characteristics of the first century church. There may be more, but I see these three to be of greater importance. That is worship, fellowship, and evangelism. The ministry of worship, the ministry of edification, or the ministry of fellowship, and the ministry of evangelism. I think these are the three things which should characterize a Christian church or a Christian community. Fellowship is the participation in the body of Christ, being members of the body of Christ. It is not simply a denominational place. It is accepting the children of God, whoever they are. Let us praise God who has called us to this fellowship, so that we may be bearers of this fellowship to others and leading others to this fellowship. Fellowship is conditional. Holy life. If we confess our sins and confession of sin, and what happens as a result of that? Spiritual communion. We walk in the light, and spiritual sanctification. The blood of His blood cleanses us from all sin. Holy life, confession of sin, takes us to fellowship with God and fellowship with others. Or it results in spiritual communion with God and with blessed communion with one another and in spiritual sanctification. Let me conclude my words by this statement, that love is the basis of fellowship. Fellowship should start from love, loving one another. The problem of the Ephesian church, as we've seen in Revelation chapter 2, was they lacked first love. And the Lord cautioned them, remember and repent and repeat, or else I will remove you. Christian love, Christian unity, Christian fellowship. God has called us into that. Let us practice that. Let us invite others into that fellowship, because it was through His grace that He called us, not through our works, not by our merits, but through His sheer grace. And let us be instruments of carrying out that fellowship, and let us practice that fellowship here as we are students, as we get prepared for the ministry. I pray that God may bless us with deeper insight into the meaning of Christian fellowship, that we may exercise it daily in our life and enjoy it and prove to the world that we have been called by God and we have a friendship whose origin is the eternal God. May His name be glorified.
Something that Alexander just said, that fellowship begins with spiritual communion with God. Yesterday we celebrated communion here in chapel. A lot of times we seem to take communion very lightly, but I felt like yesterday's service was excellent, and I know that I was fed spiritually by coming to the table of the Lord. Spiritual communion is the beginning of fellowship, spiritual communion with God. I had trouble choosing a song for fellowship to wind up this service today, but as Alexander said that, I realized that I think I chose the right song, because when we come together in communion, as the song that I'm about to sing is about, it's a communion song, but as we come together in communion, we're coming together not only with the elders and the martyrs and the prophets and the patriarchs of old, but we're also coming together, and we tend to forget this, but we come together with the beggars, the lame, the harlots, the repentant publicans, and the wayward sons. And we all meet together at the table of the Lord. And we all share in a communion with the Lord together, all of the people of God throughout history. and we share in that communion together, and we share in that spiritual fellowship with the Lord together.
Oh, welcome all ye noble saints of old, as now before your very eyes unfold the wonders all so long ago foretold. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. Elders, martyrs, all are falling down. Prophets, patriarchs are gathering round. What angels long to see now man has found. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. Who is this who spreads the victory feast? And who is this who makes our warring cease? Jesus, risen Savior, Prince of Peace. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. Beggars, lame, and harlots also here. Repentant publicans are drawing near. And wayward sons come home without a fear. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. So worship in the presence of the Lord, with joyful hearts and songs in one accord. And let our host at table be adored, cause God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. When at last this earth shall pass away, Jesus and his bride are one to stay. The feast of love has just begun that day. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the words we've heard in song and in the message. Lord, forgive us when our fellowship isn't pleasing in your sight. Lord, restore right fellowship between us and you and between us and each other. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.